CliffCentral.com.
It is the GCS. Gareth Cliff, the main man, is still away on a deserved break. He has been smashing it all year. But he's back on Thursday. So it is us, myself, Simpiwe Mthethwa, and of course Lee and Mole. We're holding it down, the kids, the young kids are saying, the cool kids, holding it down. No? No, it doesn't work. I'm too old to say to try and be cool. You're right, Leanne. I saw you giggling there. It's like, no, none of that, pal. Yeah.
Okay, Mbilelo. It's okay. You can still say that. It's a bit old school, even that, holding it down. Mm. It's a bit old school. Mm. But cool old school.
Yeah, I was... Yeah. The reason I was giggling is because I was watching Simpiwe's face, because I don't know if it's cool or not. So I was using her as my monitor.
Yeah, I know. Simpiwe was having none of it. And Simpiwe is quite an expressive person, so she will let you know immediately. But she doesn't realize it as well. So Simpiwe tries the composed thing, but she's an extremely, like, her natural mode is really expressive, which is why I think she's perfect for the work line she is. But sometimes she thinks she's composed, and she does the neck thing as well, you know? Like, Simpiwe isn't, like, small moves. If she kind of thinks, whoa, she goes... She does that whole neck thing.
It's written all over her face and in her micro expression. It's like when I'm with my brother, if we're out in public somewhere having lunch or whatever, and he's totally not aware of what his own face is doing. I'll be speaking to him and I can see he's locked in on a couple or a family and he's trying to figure out the scenario at the other table. We all do it. And I'm trying to figure out, is that the stepmom? Is that the new girlfriend? Those must be her kids. And he goes off into a trance and he literally, you know, pulls the faces and I can see exactly what he's thinking. It's like...
I love it.
Love it.
That's,
you need to hold up for sometimes, and you know, and we also pick it up now that we're doing Zoom calls and all the rest. You catch yourself, you know, with these micro expressions, and you think, hold on, I'm on with the client, and I'm like, you know, looking surprised or confused.
Yeah,
you've got to try and mask that stuff.
Which is what makes poker players incredible, right? When there's like $1 million on the line and they're just like, boom, deadpan. So it's impure. You'd be a terrible poker player, not because you're not good at poker.
Yeah, awful.
Yeah. You would not be able to hide a thing, which is quite good because you wouldn't be a very good liar. And I mean, I don't know you well enough in a personal capacity, but that's a good trait, is that you're not a good liar and nobody should be a good liar. You shouldn't be lying at all. You know what I mean? Don't get into politics, Simpiwe, is what I'm saying, really, is you'd be a terrible, terrible, terrible liar. All right, Leanne, I do have something which I know is very close to your heart that I want to talk about as well, is that I think I've told you before, and Dori at the office, we often have problems, her and I. It's a real problem. Every now and then she'll tell me about her cat, and she can actively see me being lost to her in that conversation, because so she'll often send me stuff about her cats, and I'll always send an owl picture, because as we know, owls are, you know, owls are the exact opposite of Simpiwe, actually, because owls look like, oh, you could have them, they're furry little things, look at those big eyes, you know what I mean? Boy oh boy, are they savages on the other side, though, because owls will pick up small dogs, small cats, and they are apex hunters. Yeah, they will. I mean, they are savage things, right? And they eat, like, cats are one of the casualties in the pecking order. So I'm a dog person, right? I'm only a dog person. Tell me about your parrot or whatever. I'm not big on cats, but you're saying that there's actual research for the main personality sort of differences between cat and dog people, which is fascinating to me.
No, it's amazing, because it's one of those things that you ask people when you're trying to break the ice, you know, are you a cat person or a dog person?
Yes, yeah.
And cat people judge dog people and vice versa.
Yeah.
Obviously, you get those of us who are very well balanced and like cats and dogs.
Okay, yeah.
But it's always – and the question as well when you move into your new place and you're like, should I get a kitten or a puppy? But yeah, so they've thanks to researchers in 2017, they've been doing it since then. They started analyzing the Facebook profiles of both camps, and they've kind of picked up that there are differences in people's personality. If you're exclusively a cat or a dog person, there are definitely differences. It turns out that dog people do have more friends. They have 26 more on average than cat people.
Makes sense.
But don't lament cat people, because as it stands, cat lovers actually get invited to more social gatherings, possibly as a result of their smaller friend groups. So you might not have the biggest group of friends if you're a cat person, according to this research, but you will have more time to spend with them. That's, of course, if you're not too busy curled up on a sofa with your cat on your lap.
Yeah, with a blanket that your granny knitted for you. Yeah, yeah, and I hear you there.
Yeah. The other thing they looked at was, do cat people actually tend to hang out more with other cat people? And according to the findings, yes, they do. So people who kind of love all things about cats are more inclined to hang out and befriend people who also love kittens and cats. Mm. Dog people, it seems, are more willing to befriend others outside of their dog-loving circle. So they seem to be a little bit more adventurous.
Better people, essentially.
A tendency to be single is more frequent with cat owners than dog owners. So according to this Facebook research, about 30% of cat owners are single, compared to around 24% of dog owners. It's quite a slight margin.
Yeah.
So it doesn't lead to the whole idea of being an old spinster woman with loads of cats. But again, that's not me. it turns out that cat fans are a lot pickier when it comes to choosing their people.
Yeah. Huh.
So it's quite interesting. Another interesting part is that cat lovers lean more towards the fantasy sci-fi categories of entertainment, while dog people go barking mad for romance and for love.
Very good.
Love a good tearjerker about family, while cat people enjoy watching a team of men exploring space. That doesn't really apply to me, but again, I'm both people, so perhaps that's where it lies. And then another unique find is that kitty people tend to flock to cities, whereas dog people are more in rural and suburban areas.
Which makes sense. Dogs are, they need to get out and get active. Simpu, I don't know if you've got any pets.
No, I was, the whole time Leanne was speaking, I was like, what about me? I'm not a cat or a dog person, so what do I fall? You know, yeah, and that was interesting because I'm not a fan of animals in general. So it's like,
I see. What does that say about Simpu? Look, on a serious note, though, is that I think something that's true about all animals, whatever it may be, and I mean, we mustn't pretend because people think they are Caesar Milan. Everyone thinks they like dog and cat whisperers, right? You're not. There is no scientific research even for Caesar Milan to be able to talk to cats. Now, I know there are probably people who live somewhere in the Natal Midlands or Nature's Valley or somewhere like that, or Sedgefield in South Africa. Leanne, what's the other small town you used to live in where there's one road? Robertson, hey?
McGregor.
Oh, McGregor. You were in McGregor, where people don't believe in shoes. Those types of people, you find a lot of people there who will pay people to come and talk to their horse, like a horse. I mean, okay, fine. I'll give you room. But pets have a very, very therapeutic thing, right? Is we know in terms of treatment, golden retrievers now, there's incredible research being done into people that have suffered trauma. Retrievers seem to be the animal that's sort of trained as a trauma companion. So forget about just as a seeing eye dog. It's transcended now to, and dogs and cats and animals have an incredible sort of cathartic, I think, sort of soothing of the human soul, whatever it may be, that unspoken bond between man and beast. Is it maybe the most unique relationship mankind can have? Because people are selfish, right? We've got a gift and a curse, is that we can actually make decisions and use our frontal cortex to do good and evil. Or if you do, again, live in McGregor. Yeah. And if you live in, like in McGregor, you might call it the third eye. So stay away from the calcium. I know that's a real thing if you want to keep the third eye open. But animals are a fantastic thing, right? In that they don't care whether you're poor. They don't care whether you're rich. They don't care whether you're sick. Is if they are yours, they are yours. They are with you till death truly do you part. There is no more Jeff Bezos' wife getting money she doesn't deserve, right? Is with cats, they don't do that. With dogs, they don't do that. And no. I do love that relationship.
They don't judge you. When you come in from, when you're doing a walk of shame from the night before, you're still in last night's clothes and you've probably lost your wallet or your phone, and you've probably opened up the sex box at night.
Yeah.
They don't treat you differently. They don't look at you and say, you know, what was that all about?
Mm. Yeah, I know. It's a fantastic thing.
And if animals can accept exactly who we are, no matter what, I mean, they don't look at you differently if you've been married four times, divorced four times. If you're straight, gay, or whatever you are on every spectrum, you're treated the same and welcomed the same, no matter what.
Yeah, they don't care that you're a Man United fan. You know, just animals.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely incredible.
Wait, now that you brought up Man United, I have a question to ask. I'm not a soccer fan. Let me put that out there. But are Man United fans okay? How are they doing? Like, because I've been following some of their games and, jeez, guys, like, what's it like supporting that team? Because they've been taking so many L's.
I want to say something cool right now to try and make up for earlier, is they are going through the most right now, Simpiwe.
Yes, they are. And I'm just so good. I'm genuinely concerned about all Man United fans.
Yeah.
You guys, no, this weekend, another one. Sure.
And you know what makes it worse is that they got what modern day poet Sillo Malema once called a deputy Jesus in Cristiano Ronaldo. They thought the prodigal son had returned, you know, from yonder. But boy, oh boy. That's tough, huh? That is tough. Cristiano Ronaldo has come back, and if you are a Manchester United fan, no thoughts and prayers. It's just a better place when Man United are terrible right now. And social media is all over them, right? Right now, if you're going to be those people, if you're going to be that character type, please don't be shocked. It's like these celebrities who are so out there. You know what I mean? Like, they put themselves out there and then they have a bad moment and then they go, oh, I need my privacy. No. Sorry. If you were brash and out there and sniping at people when they were down and now you're down, of course we're going to have a go at you. Don't you dare think we're going to let you off the hook. And this pub that I was at was a Man United pub. Oh, that was the only good part of the weekend, being in and amongst Man United fans and watching them. Oh, man, it was just fantastic. And Gutenkosi saying, we are not okay. Hey, tough life. Tough times never last unless you're a Manchester United fan. But yeah, so that's tough. That is tough. Michael has an interesting sort of take here. Dog people also think that everyone else wants to see their dogs, so they try and take them everywhere, even to visit people who only have cats. They act surprised when you say no entry. I think that is an incredible, incredible point, right? Please, I love dogs. I love dogs. Stop bringing your dogs to restaurants. And listen, I live in the type of place where it is those types of yuppie mommies who just got my, I don't know, like Taiwanese Pikachu and look at him. I can fit him in your handbag. Stop bringing your dogs to restaurants. Stop. I love dogs. Stop.
No, but you see now, there are people who love it. I don't take my dog while he's dead. But
yeah, tough to take him then.
You, I do like being at a restaurant and seeing people with their pets out. And
what?
As long as they're well behaved.
No, no, no. Leanne, no. Let me tell you something. I don't like animals. I get scared when I see dogs. So now I'm in a public space where there's supposed to be some sort of safety, Nyana vibes going. And then I see someone with a dog. Now there I am like frozen because I'm like, I don't know if I should walk or not walk. Like, that's the issue, is that just because other people love their pets doesn't mean that everybody else is going to have the same feeling towards them. And some of us, you know, speaking on me, myself and I, we are traumatized by dogs. Oh, Bobby is not a good thing. I don't want to see Bobby at the shopping center. I don't. I want to have a great, I want to be able to walk and not think, yo, I might get bitten. So please stop. Pets are not allowed. No. Unless you're going to a pet shop to, hey.
Or a park.
No. 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 No, no. And also when you visit, guys, and I tell you, I'm not a fan of, like, animals. Please. No, but he won't bite. Just stop it. Like, hey, guys, I know what I like and I don't like. I don't like animals. I don't like dogs. I don't like, don't bring them around me, okay? Just stop trying to convince me that, Snowy. No, stop it. Stop. No.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, the same could be said for people taking their kids out.
Absolutely.
To places. But also, you know, I'm now putting myself in your shoes, Mpiwe, and if there's something that I'm really scared of, like, I mean, people don't bring their pet spiders to the restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
If they did, I'd be out.
Yeah.
I love snakes, but there could be people who are scared of snakes. You don't go out with your cobra around your neck.
Yeah.
Or not, it wouldn't be a cobra. It could be something else.
Could be like a python, yeah.
Some other constrictor.
Constrictor of sorts, yeah, yeah. But point taken. It's you don't bring your girlfriend to your wife's house. Essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got some crazy collectors, and we've got collector mania coming up.
Yeah.
You don't go to your friend's house with your entire collection of whatever. Leave those things at home. So I am seeing your point. I think, but there are communities where it's you choose to live in that community because of the fact that you can have your dogs out and you all go to dog parks and you throw birthday parties for your dogs. So
wait,
what's the problem, Simpiwe?
When your dogs are your children,
Simpiwe, what are you saying?
I've never heard of that. Like, wait, like, there's a whole birthday party for Bobby, and then you just, like, what, do you invite Snoopy and
there's dog schools. Simpiwe, there's dog schools. I don't know if you know this. Like, my one friend's dog got suspended from school because he was being naughty. Yeah, that's a real part of the world. Simpiwe's...
I mean, for some people, their dogs are their children. You know, they haven't had children.
This is news to some people.
Yeah.
No, please. Sorry, I did not know of this. Dog school. What happened?
Oh, you don't know
this? Do they pass and graduate?
Oh, of course they graduate and get certificates. Dog training, dog obedience and dog training school.
Yeah.
Like, where have you been, Simpiwe?
But look, to Simpiwe's point, I think... When people are into their pets, it's like anything. Like, I always compare because there is this side of things, right? Is people with dogs and people with kids do think they are the Mother Mary of Jesus Christ. Like, there is a thing of, I've adopted now, so I've actually now saved all of the children of Africa. And I think worse, though, is people with kids, because especially moms who've had kids think they are just the greatest thing that's ever happened. I'll bring my child everywhere. And even though my child is screaming, isn't she beautiful? No, she's a nightmare. It's important for people to hear a little bit of pushback on, we can't have absolute permissivity, right? It's like, I love animals. I really do. I love nature. Nature's an important part of my life. I love dogs. Not this, like, Staffy's the smallest I like. Any other dog, get that the hell out of my face. That's a rat. That's not a dog. But I love dogs. And But I don't want dogs in and around my food. Like I'm also fully aware of the scientific consequences of having, like, a husky in and around my food. I understand that dogs don't get up and sort of, they aren't using mouthwash. Like I'm fully aware of the range of stuff that beasts bring just from an ailment point of view around me as a person. And also not everyone's comfortable with dogs. And I know that's tough. The feedback for people to hear with pets, because again, it's not to say you can't have pets and you shouldn't have pets. Take them to a park, not to a restaurant. But Leanne, I also understand, to your point, is if a restaurant, they're entitled to say, hey, pets are allowed here. If you don't like pets, don't go there, I guess.
Yeah. And for communities.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same as you choose to live in a place that doesn't allow children to be there.
Oh, well.
So then don't go and visit a certain community or suburb where people have chosen to have dogs as an important part of their lives.
Well, yeah. I mean, sorry, you've brought that up now. You've triggered me, as I seem to have lost that battle there. And yeah. Listen, some stuff happened there.
Oh, they're there to stay. Wait, what happened?
No, because now, because we live in South Africa, right? So their families from India, like Indian from India. Now the lady, she's white and Jewish. She said, it's good. And, you know, it's going to look a certain way if she says anything. And I totally understood. So I thought, you know what? I don't have the energy for this. So now I've lost the battle, essentially. Now these terrible humans are staying next to me, so I'll have to look for a new complex.
So does this... Oh, so you're going to...
I'm actively searching for a new complex. I can't live next to screaming monsters, yeah. But anyway, that's a separate issue to the pet thing. Sure. Yeah, it's terrible. Hey!
Mbulela, your weekend was horrible, and now your neighbors are just, you know, everything that you've never wanted. How are you doing? Are you okay? Like,
how's
life going for
you? I took it on board. As soon as I heard that, I took it on board. The secret in life is absolute control, is I need to make more money because I need to pay for my freedom. So I'll be actively making more money to move out of there very, very soon if they don't leave. But to your point, Leanne, fair enough. You know, communities. Yeah, hey, being human, it's dynamic. Well, you know, they'll get you. Somebody's husky who they think doesn't bite, it'll get your ankle. But as long as your burger's good, sir, you know. So it's a trade-off.
Yeah, I learned something new today. I really did. There's a school for dogs.
Oh, you
did?
Yeah.
I really don't know. Like,
oh, now you know. Like,
I'm not learning history and politics and, you know, that sort of thing.
Iconoclastic art, yeah.
So they're being taught to, you know, have manners and listen to instructions and be able to be under control, which you would prefer in public settings. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, which is extremely important, I think. Hey, train your dogs as well. Like, also, Leanne, can we quickly talk about that? Is people, when you get your dogs, think of them like children. Train them, because, you know, you don't want them being a nightmare, not just for you, for your neighbors. Hey, you might have kids. You need trained dogs around kids. You know, I don't care what kind of dog it is. Is there still a savage beast if they aren't tamed? Train your dogs. If you're going to have a dog, can't afford to train your dog, don't get a dog. Sorry.
No, but there are also ways of doing it by following online tutorials and watching the Cesar Milan's and the programs and all of that. You can do it yourself.
Cesar, he dyes his hair, huh? That silver tinge like thing, is that's all dye, eh?
I never thought of that.
You never thought about it, huh? I've always wondered. Cesar, well, what look you got going there? It's like a silvery... I don't know what's going on, like a purpley, silvery thing that he's got going. Next time you watch Cesar Milan, look out for it. Look out for it.
Yeah,
it's the small things. The devil's in the detail. And also in Krugersdorp.
Thanks. Just needs to be blown up.
Oh, my goodness.
Turn into a beach. We'll be happy.
Elon is God says, I'm a dog trainer. There we go. Here's somebody I can work with. Elon is God says, I'm a dog trainer by profession. Yeah. I work a lot with doggy schools and daycares. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Elon is God. You are an important person. Protect that human at all times. I've got a pit bull story for you, but probably for another time. So the place I grew up in can't have pit bulls because of what my pit bull did when I was younger. But that is a whole nother story for another time, because we're about to get into collectomania. But before we get into that, Inga Vessel says, please train all dogs. The amount of times we have had a small dog aggressively have a go at my pit bull is insane. Note, my pit bull is not the problem. Now, Inga Vessel sounds like me. Inga Vessels sounds like me. So my father, all training, all the time. Our pit bull, it was like really having a cat that could rip your head off. So my dad, I mean, Ruff was trained like military stuff. Is Inga, much like, so I'm not for guns, but much like most gun owners, is actually the real proper gun owners are super well trained. They've got their qualifications. They've got their certifications. Is when you've got a pit bull, get that thing on a real leash and a proverbial leash by training it. But it's these people who get lifestyle dogs. And I think Inga might be going here. Is these lifestyle dogs are the problem. These little ratty things with that they don't train. And they just scream. And you live in a complex. And now your rat is squealing. And it's fine. Ach, and then it's, Richie, shut that thing up. Shut that thing up. Oh, Jesus. Lady, honestly, I wish I could. You know what sometimes I wish I could do? I wish I could bring a fire truck in. Into my complex sometimes, well, in my complex there's no pets, but at these people's, bring a fire truck in and just open the hose into those people's houses, just like, and now you know how terrible you're making my life. Clean that house up, and now that's how terrible my life is with you leaving your dog inside yapping for 12 hours while I live there. Happened at my previous complex, absolute madness. But I do, hey, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's what's going through my mind all the time. But let's go to something else who's – maybe he's a dog person and a good person as well. Unlike Leanne, who's a cat person, is – you know, I just don't get cat people.
We're both, remember.
You're both. You're what are you, an ambipetter? What might you call someone who's into both? An ambi like Derek Zuland. I don't know if you remember. He wasn't an ambi-turner, so an ambidextrous turner. You're a – We'll find a term for it. We'll find a term for somebody who'll do cats and dogs. I'm doing cats.
Stable and normal.
Cats and dogs living together?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, of course.
What kind of dog do you have?
Are you sure?
Leanne?
It broke up there.
What kind of dog do you have?
Oh. Well, he's dead now, but I had a miniature pincher. But you can have all sorts of dogs living with cats. There's certain dog breeds that you can't have a cat with. I mean, if you think about a Ridgeback in general, they were bred to kill lions. So obviously having them near a cat is not a good thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of dogs and cats get on really well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're going to have Tian on in a second. Tian, of course, for Collectomania will join us. And if you're one for the classics, I think Tian's going to be absolutely incredible. But a little bit later, of course, it'll be the MKT show. You can subscribe, like, share, subscribe on Cliff Central Sport. And we've got plenty coming up, as Simpiwe has alluded to, Manchester United fans going through the most. So we got Senzo Seteba on today. I'm looking forward to having him on. But Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out at scoinshop.com. And if you are a collector, before we bring Tian on, remember, got anything interesting or unusual, or if you know such a person, get in touch with us on contact@cliffcentral.com, and we can feature them on Collectomania. All right, Tian Liebenberg is our guest. He collects a number of things, such as watches, pens, pocket knives, and media memorabilia. Because we don't have all the time in the world this morning, we'll be focusing on his media memorabilia. Tian, good morning to you, sir.
How's it, man? How you doing?
Yeah, Tian, you know, some people are dog people, some people are cat people. You know how it goes.
Well, I've got some of my friends have actually told me that it seems like I collect dogs as well. I've got four, the youngest one with the newest addition being a Jack Russell. All of them seem fine with the cat. But then again, the cat, Tyson, is 19 years old.
Wow.
I remember Tyson.
Yes, Tyson's the one without the tail.
So just
because he ran into another cat. He ran into another cat that seems to collect tails. And so eventually he lost his tail, but I think he's slightly delusional, so he's probably not quite sure what's happening right now, which is why he's all fine with the dogs.
Tian, you seen the cats play? Probably the greatest work ever on stage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the release of Dogs.
All right, that's
so to give you guys some context, Tian and I have actually known each other for what?
20 years.
Yeah.
20 okay. years, yeah.
So what? Where do you meet Jolly Roger?
No, it was even pre-Jolly Roger days. Yeah,
all right.
A long time ago. But yeah, we have some shared friends. And so I haven't seen your collections, but I'm very excited to hear the stories.
Excellent. Well, Tian, let's get into it. I mean, your collections are really, really interesting. And obviously, we'll be focusing on the media memorabilia. But what got you into being a collector? Because it's such an interesting thing, right, is... There's so many things now. Like, it's hard to be an actual collector because, ooh, I like those cars. Ooh, I like those T-shirts. I like those shoes. What got you into being not just a hoarder but a collector?
You know, I'm not sure. I think if I had to unpack it, it's probably like the nostalgia, you know, like connected to stuff, old stuff. You know, I was browsing the other day and I saw someone had a collection of Coke cans. So remember with the 95 Rugby World Cup, you know, each country had their little Coke can with their flag and so on and so on. And this guy had actually, and they're still full, wouldn't suggest that you drink it, but I had a collection of all these Coke cans still full of all the countries from 95. And so you don't collect it for the sake of Coke, but you collect it for... probably what that time, you know, 95 was all about, you know. And sometimes, in my opinion, that's collecting stuff from yesteryear is almost, you know, just adds to the memories of reminding you of what it was like back then.
And have you always been a collector since a child? Because I know some people just late in life, you know, you marry someone, they're into stuff, you start to collect together perhaps, or as you grow later in life, you make a little bit more money. There's always some. As a child, were you collecting things, or was it something that came later in life for you?
It was definitely later. You know, anything that you need to pay good money for to collect is probably an issue when you're a child.
Yeah.
And so, you know, eventually things like stones and different colored elastic bands no longer cut it for you. It's collectibles. And so as you get older, or like I like to say, as you mature.
Yes, like wine.
And you start collecting different things, yeah. You know, I think with the music, the media memorabilia, sorry, my computer's about to start running a scheduled scan, which I would definitely just have to run later.
Yeah, no, it's not the time. I mean, we're in the middle of collector mania. Bill Gates, maybe just relax a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I've got this support window across all your faces.
No, probably an upgrade, so, in fairness. I mean, other than Timpu and Leanne, I'm glad you can't see my face, Tian.
Anyway, so what happened is in primary school, I started – oh, there we go, it's gone – delivering newspapers.
Uh-huh.
And I had a blue BMX bicycle. And on a Friday, I would meet at this lady's house, and there would be a stack of, like – I think it was about 500-600 newspapers waiting. And I would go and put that in the post boxes. And I got paid a whopping R4.20 a week.
Wow.
For my efforts. So there wasn't a lot of collecting. I think that at least R4 of the R4.20 went to our local cafe to play Pac-Man. And associated games,
yeah.
Which is another thing I collected. I actually bought one of those old arcade machines with all the games.
Wow.
You can still slot the thing in. So, yeah, I did, just out of interest, on Thursday put up a new high score for Pac-Man, which I'm very proud of.
No, hey, huge, huge news at a stage in that mattered. That mattered between the ages of 1 and 13. That was a real thing. But I want to focus on something.
It matters.
Yeah. So listen, you've got a really interesting one that I'd love for us to bring up on screen is the original Nelson Mandela for President street pole poster for 94. Where on earth would you have found this and how long have you had it?
I think I've had this one for about 10 years. You could probably see the, you know, the little marks in the holes at the top and the bottom, the E of president and the D of president. You know, the holes where they fit the strings through. And yeah, I saw this on an online auction, and decided to buy it. I thought it's a great photo. I love the colors, and given where we are now, that was obviously just completely, you know, an historic moment, which I thought would be a nice one to have in the collection. In fact, it was about 15 years ago, I went to a meeting and someone had a poster like that in their office behind their desk framed as well, and I was just completely blown away going, sheesh. You know, a couple of years ago, this was littering street poles all throughout South Africa with, you know, faces of other weird people as well. And little did you know that at some point, hey, hang on, this is going to be something that's going to be pretty cool to have in your man cave or your you know, lounge or wherever.
Yeah.
So, I set out to try and find one, and I was lucky enough to find one.
And I mean, that's an awesome one, because this is probably the difference between a hoarder and a collector, right? Is as much as I love football, in 5 years' time, there'll be a new Neymar or whatever. Is there's one Nelson Mandela, maybe in the history of mankind, and maybe forevermore. That's a real collector's item. So, wow, that's really, really cool. I don't know if you, Tian, are you in a family setup? Do you kind of have a no-go zone for friends that come around in terms of the, hey, you don't come near the Mandela poster, because I know people that collect stuff. Sorry, here's the radius. Do not even look at this thing.
No, it's you are welcome to look. But if you touch it, I may have to use my pocket knife collection. So there's no touching. And the same goes for newspapers. You know, when we chat about that, I mean, you can't just take an old newspaper that's 50, 60 years old and just, you know, flick through it like you're sitting on a low-cost airline flight to Cape Town with limited people and just fold.
So let's just look at, because at the moment, okay, we've seen a poster, right? So this would be part of your media collection. And then you're mentioning newspapers as well, and pocket knives, etc. But what else can we see that, you know, that you have pictures of at the moment?
Let's look at the Weekblad. Oh, wow, look at that.
Die Landbou.
My goeie genigte. My genade. Now, this is incredible. This is from, how long ago is this?
1970.
Wow.
Yeah, 1970. You know, sometimes you would walk through the most unassuming places, and it's typically in like small little towns. This one, I got at a little antique place in Mossel Bay, of all places. And they were just, you know, by the counter where you paid, along with, you know, cups and saucers from your granny's house, there was a stack of magazines. And I paged through them. And as you can see, I paid a whopping $10 for it. You know, so things like that is there's probably very little commercial value in that. But just going through that and, you know, looking what the Toyota Bucky was that they launched that year.
Yeah.
You know, which now is, you know, probably worse off than the worst Scorer score you've ever seen, but it was cutting edge automobile technology
back
in
then,
1970.
Yeah.
You know, with proper pleather seats. It was a thing.
Yeah. No, of course you needed to have that. And something that I know, and I've been looking forward to seeing is the original New York Times, the 63 one, when of course JF Kennedy was no longer with us. I mean, where did you get this? Oh my goodness, look at that. So where did you get it, and where does it stay? Is this one that you just keep up on the wall as well? Because this is something else.
Yeah, you can see that that's a fairly fancy frame.
Yes.
That I decided to get. So this is the moon landing of 69. If you zoom in, there's that sequence of three pictures. And also for some reason, I've had this thing about the New York Times. I don't know if it's because of movies or just, you know, the fact that it's American, so you think it's amazing. You know, as a child, but I've always had this thing about the New York Times. And this one I got online as well. What it doesn't show you is just how brittle it is. You know, you're supposed to store these things in, you know, in a dark place with acid-free paper, you know, to kind of preserve the print and so on. And, this is in my... in my garage. I mean, it's been quite a thing because I wanted to put this all around my house. My wife decided that it's not quite in step with the look and feel we're going for.
Yeah. An assassination. I don't need to have my cornflakes with assassination on the wall kind of thing.
Yeah. So she allowed me to put a ceiling in the garage and pile it, so it looks like a nice space.
Yeah.
And that's where that newspaper is. But that's quite a special one. And of course, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, we may or may not have landed on the moon. Either way, I've got the proof, either of the real thing or of a studio.
Yeah. No, I'm
not that you the lekker naspers vlaggie in the achtergrond. That's the first flag in the background, and I see it has signatures on it. What is that about?
So I work for one of the group companies, and so I thought, show the gears when I'm in meetings because, you know, still working from home.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you can see that it says Nine Peaks Record. In my spare time, I climb mountains, so I'm doing... the seven summits, which is to try and climb the highest peak on each of the seven continents. Mm-hmm. And this is something we did a while back where we tried to set a new record for the fastest time to climb the highest peak in each of the nine provinces, hence the name Nine Peaks Record. Mm-hmm. And that's the signature of my teammates.
Oh, was Adrian Safi with you on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Siphonator.
Yeah. I do know about that challenge. So I didn't realize you were part of that team. Very, very cool.
Yeah, so we had we broke the record, and you know, another collectible. Again, this has got, you know, it's probably worth R22.75. You know, for the print of the flag. But you know, the memories that go along with that is worth a lot more than literally the material is printed on.
Yeah, and Tian, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you something. Is your collections are quite interesting? I can't imagine it's something you can share with others. You can't trade your stuff. I know some collectors are in that world. Do you ever speak to other people that collect similar things to you and they're like, hey, have you heard of this? Or is it just purely you looking for something like this to collect? How do you keep compiling in what you're trying to sort of add to your now man cave, as we've discovered?
Yeah. Look, I think with some things you can trade when it's about knives or watches or things like that. The newspapers, there's a particular interest that's you know, one of the newspapers would have. In fact, an interesting story, awfully, awfully, awfully sad, actually, is I started my collection on the media stuff, probably around the time that I met, you know, that we met, which is about 20 years ago. And one of the most amazing items I had was the first edition of Scope magazine that was ever published.
Wow.
And it was quite decent, you know, there was nothing raunchy in it, you know, it was like, I almost want to say.
Stars on the nipples?
No, not even, hey, not even. It was good, wholesome family reading, kind of. And that was part of my collection, and I was pedantic about how to store this, so I had it wrapped in plastics, and it was under my staircase. And then at some point, we did a house clean out, and my helper looked at this thinking that it was old, and it was old. Of course it was old. But it also then made its way to the pick-it-up truck. And I remember getting home and seeing the truck drive off, not thinking any, you know, it's a Monday, that's the day they come. And then realizing afterwards that, you know, that song, "There Goes My Only Possession."
Oh, boy.
Which is awesome. So I have to start again. Yeah. I have to start again.
Well, that is tough, man. And listen, Tian, these are awesome collections because these are unique. JFK and Nelson Mandela, two of people we may never see. We may never see two individuals who cajole mankind ever again like this. We may, but I think highly unlikely. So those are real collector's items, and I'm ecstatic. And I look forward to, hey, we got to have you back because the watches, now I know there's pocket knives. Now I know your wife's slowly trying to kick you out the house, put you upstairs. We'll talk about that. You know, there's all sorts going on there. So, Tian, this has been absolutely awesome, man, and I'm looking forward to where can we get a hold of you? Do you put it on social media anywhere? Are you on the Twitter monster or Instagram?
You know, I am on Twitter. I think I've got 37 followers, of which 30 I think are bots. So I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of action, there, unfortunately.
All right. Well, Tian, thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing your collection with us on Collectomania. Stay golden out there.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Nice to see you.
Tian Liebenberg. Hey, that's kind of cool. That's stuff you can keep forever, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out on scoinshop.com. And again, if you're a collector or you are of interesting things, or you know anybody who has anything interesting that they're collecting, or you know, whatever it may be, they're part of a cool society in terms of collection, contact us at cliffcentral.com so we can feature you or them on, of course, Collectomania every single Monday. Tian Liebenberg. Wow. I never keep stuff. So I'm always amazed by people that have the patience to keep this stuff. Like, one day this will matter.
I low-key judge them. I'm just like...
What, as like hoarders?
I think it's just like a low-key, you're 5'2". In my mind, I'm really like, you're 5'2". Being that it's okay, it's all right, I'm great. But there's been some collections where I'm like, oh wow, that's nice. But still, I'm side eyeing you a bit, just a bit. I'm just like, it's a problem here.
Are you a collector of anything, Leah? Besides cats, obviously.
I do have in the family a collection of Ardmore ceramics, which are made in the KwaZulu-Natal Midlands and are quite sought after. We were also lucky enough to inherit some as well from friends of the family. So, yeah, I think I will feature them at some point. They live at my mom's house, and I certainly wouldn't want to transport them in any way. Mm-hmm. So it would mean me sleeping over at my mom's or driving there early in the morning in order to show you the collection. But, it's something that I'd be interested to show you.
Yeah, that's quite cool. It becomes an heirloom kind of situation. Inevitably, you know, what do they say? The third generation always destroys the family wealth. So you keep it for two and then you sell it. So whoever your nieces and nephews are, oh boy, those ceramics are in big trouble if the stats are to be believed.
There's only one across two families. So.
One niece?
Okay, for now. Yeah, one nephew. None of us breed.
Oh,
we're
I see.
Just a bunch of bats.
I see what you're saying. All right, no, hey, listen, you got to do what you got to do. You know, it's not everybody can or wants to have kids, so probably too many on this planet anyway. Let's be honest. I mean, where are we now? 7 billion. We'll probably bring that number down to 4 or 5. Maybe let's, I don't know, go back to hunter gathering. Let the wolves get some of us, and let's bring that number down. I mean, 7 billion. It's just far too much. I mean, the emissions. I mean, what do we have to do now? Build new plumbing systems, figure out new ways to... I mean, come on. We don't need 7 billion.
More infrastructure.
So I'm with you, Leon. Less kids. I totally hear you. Then I wouldn't be in my situation, my complex. Wouldn't need to have screaming kids at a restaurant. Be awesome. Less kids. Less.
Just, adopt.
or have none. Let's start with have none, because the adopt thing doesn't necessarily mean people aren't
they
having
still
kids.
Make noise, right?
Yeah. And they still people are still having kids. People are still having kids. Let me tell you something I heard quickly on the weekend, right, before we wrap things up. So I heard these girls like at the table I was sitting at, and these girls were speaking to each other like, oh, I'm still working on my summer body. I'm still working on my summer body. I thought, oh my word, is this still happening? So I just wanted to get a gauge, and I'd love to get some comments on this. It's November the 8th. Is it too late? Obviously, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, good luck to you guys. Good luck with your jackets. That's not our problem. We'll see you in 6 months' time when we have that problem. It's summertime here now. Is it too late to work on your summer body?
If I was going to work on my summer body, I would have to start in 2001.
Well...
So Jesus, this conversation is not for me and does not apply at all. And oh, you know what? Man. This is a summer body. This is my body in summer.
This there we go. I was going to say that.
Yeah. And I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah. No, it's not too late. I mean, I think more and more people now, the movement of the summer body is becoming more positive and about women becoming more confident in the skin that they're in. So it's never too late to have a summer body. It's just about you rocking it in confidence. If you're going to wear that bikini, babes, rock it with confidence. Don't rock a bikini and be like, oh, my love handles, oh, my cellulite, oh, my stretch. No, we're not here for that. Then don't leave that summer body at your crib, girl. If you're going to rock a bikini or you're going to rock anything that you feel showing a lot of skin, rock it with confidence. Point blank, period. You have a body. It's summer. Let's go.
It's one of my favorite TikTok trends are the videos to the sound, which goes, now this is a bikini body. And she slaps her thighs together.
Yeah, she's like, ha, ha. Yeah, I've seen those. They're quite cool. But the secret is just have confidence and don't worry about what they say, honey. Like, do you, rock you. And you can still, I mean, if you want to go on a liquid diet for 10 days, might shed 1 or 2 kilos, you know, loosen the jeans a bit. But summer's here, your body's here.
I used to have the summer body that I know in Bolelo you're thinking of, with almost a six pack. And I looked pretty good. And I've fought mentally for 20 years since, fighting with what I look like. And I'm actually really tired of it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do it anymore because it's been absolutely traumatic. So this is my bikini body. It is in a bikini and it is in summer. So this is my summer
body. It's your summer body. You're saying, oh, yeah, well, these girls were that they were having panic stations. Maybe they needed to be with you guys. But they were putting themselves under some serious pressure. Like the girl was, oh, I've got to work on my summer body.
I have a question. Mm. How were those girls looking? Because most of the time, some chicks that panic about summer bodies, they already have their ideal summer body. You know, they're already like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to wear. But there they are with their flat stomach. And you're like, girl, what you worried about? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you crying? You be looking perfect. Like, so how are they looking? Like, are they just one of those girls who like, oh my gosh, I'm so fat after they've had one McDonald's meal?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I think that's a very good question.
It's a good question. It's just difficult to answer.
I think it's a good question.
Because whatever you say, you're going to be in shit.
Well, it's a good question. Basically. Now, how do they look? It was... Yeah. You probably, ladies, you probably need summer to be 3 months away, to be honest. You probably, if I was hearing what I was hearing. So, no, they haven't been working on any body, and now it's, you know, like you say, it's their summer body in summer. But hey, I'm also probably not a good judge because I'm just like, your body should always be, you know, like, but okay, fine, whatever. The world's a hard place. But no, they've left it far too late. If I wasn't brought up by the mother, I was saying, like, hearing the way they were talking, I would have gone up to them and said, mm-hmm. It is too late, ladies. But But luckily, I'm not that guy. Yeah. So they weren't looking six-packy at all. Yeah. It's going to be tough if that's their standards by summer. That's a month away. No way.
Ugh, it ain't. Things making me feel nauseous.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to end up the show. A little bit of what might you call it? A little misogyny on my part. A little sort of misogyny on my part. Leanne saying, forget that misogyny. I'm out of here. I'm going to keep doing my summer body. And Simpio saying it's not too late. So, ladies, maybe you can take your pick. You know,
I mean, there's crazy diets out there, if we're being honest. So, hey,
yeah, I mean,
we can do something wild. I don't encourage it. Don't encourage it.
Yeah.
But if we just say, hey, there's crazy things that people have done to look perfect. So.
And people will do it.
How badly do you want it? Badly do you want it?
Boy, oh boy. People, I've just realized people will do anything to look good. It is. Hey, it's tough. But and listen, it's also the pandemic has ended lots of relationships. I understand people right now are on the hunt. It is a very real thing trying to get a partner in their life. So good luck to you, whether you're using your body, money, sort of the dark arts. You could trick him or her into thinking you're lovable just for 6 months. That's also a thing. So shout out to everyone's doing what they're doing, right? There's room for everyone. There's room for everyone. And Leanne, to you, you're feeling nauseous about it. I'm feeling fine about it. I just thought to those ladies, that's a difficult place. You should have started 6 months ago. But again, I'm probably not the best judge because I am just, you know, I'm starting to realize not very balanced. So, Simpiwe, Leanne.
You be you, boo.
Yeah. Hey, you do you, boo, boo. Hey, Simpiwe, people are saying that? Yeah, the young fun
do
ones.
Do you, boo, boo.
Hey, girl.
That's how you have to say it. You have to say, do you, boo, boo.
That's
do you.
That's Simpiwe Mtetwa. That's Leanne Moll. Guys, fantastic this morning. Leanne, we see you again Friday. Look after yourself, Simpiwe. We'll be with you throughout the week. So, to all of you at home, the GCS is out. CliffCentral.com.